Welcome to the Sam Smith Audio Show, guys. I have Stan from Terminal Nation, the vocalist.
Yo, yes, that is correct.
Make sure I got it right. Dude, yeah, fucking, I love your music.
Well, thank you.
Do you write all the songs?
So I pretty much write all the lyrics, the vocal patterns, the cadences, and things like that. I help out sometimes with the riff writing process. But the song structures and riffs usually are the other guys in the band.
Yeah, okay. Nice, man. So, what about the name Terminal Nation? Where did that come from?
So, I've gotten this question before. It's, and people think there's like this big grandiose story to it or whatever.
Yeah.
No, there's this, so there's this old hardcore band from like the early 90s called Infest. Uh-huh. And on their second LP, they have a track called Terminal Nation. Well, Infest is probably my favorite hardcore band. And that song is particularly hard. It's very like rough and gritty. But we just named it after the Infest song. I connected with the lyrics and the fucking name sounds hard.
Oh yeah, dude. It does. Right. Terminal Nation. It caught my attention immediately, and the album art for the last one.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I that caught my eye immediately, and but what I've noticed is y'all don't play a whole lot of like local shows and stuff like.
Yes.
Like some of the other bands, you know.
Sure,
like,
sure.
I mean, you play local shows, but it's like maybe once or twice a year.
Yeah,
that's
about right. So I mean, I love Little Rock. I love putting on for the city. We love playing Little Rock. It's not viable for us to play it like once a month or you know every other week or whatever. Some newer bands that are kind of trying to get their name out there or whatever. You got to take what you can get. You claw and scratch and try to get your way to the top. I feel like, as a whole, you know, if you're involved in the music scene in some sense, you're at least familiar with our name. You may like us or dislike us or respect us or whatever, but you at least know who we are. So we don't have to play a whole lot locally to kind of get our name out there. And so it makes the nectar even sweeter whenever, you know, if you got to wait 6 months for a show, you know, it's much more worth it than you know, getting a show a month kind of thing.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah, it's. For sure, man. I wonder if I can catch a live show with you guys eventually and stuff. But which I will probably.
We got a couple
travel.
Coming up. We got a couple coming up. So we got two shows. Our first. So you know.
I know about the one with the eyes.
Yeah.
House.
So there's this whole. I don't know.
It sold out the day that I got my paycheck. So
it was sold out the day we announced it. Truthfully,
yeah.
So you're okay.
Oh,
but,
I heard about it like a week before you announced it.
I kind of tried to tease it out, you know, put teasers out there.
Oh, yeah.
Some people knew, you know. But yeah, so that one's sold out. Actually, so we got two shows this month. We're playing in Memphis a couple days before the Eyes Up show. Also, similar lineup, Sangui Sugabog from Ohio.
Yeah.
you don't hear a name like that every day. And then
no.
200 Stab Wounds. They're playing
in
Memphis with us. On Friday, July the 23rd.
Okay.
That one sold out yesterday.
Damn.
And then we got the Little Rock show on a Monday. It's our record release show. From the record we dropped last year because with COVID, we couldn't play a show. It's kind of weird doing a record release show almost one full year after the record drops.
Yeah.
And it's our first local show in 2 years because of COVID.
Yeah.
So it's a little weird doing a first show in 2 years, but I'm glad that, you know, people showed out for us and like bought their tickets and it sold out in like a few hours from being announced.
Oh, yeah.
It should be fun. If you can't hit those, which, you know, it's sold out, then in September we got Mutants of the Monster Fest.
Okay.
And that's going to be, a legendary weekend. That one's going to be wild.
Yeah. I saw that. I'm planning on, trying to go to that.
Yeah, do it.
If everything else is sold out, so it's like
that one's not quite there. So that one's a huge room. We're playing the Dreamland Ballroom. Are you familiar with the place?
No, I'm
okay.
Not.
Okay, so it's like this legendary historic venue in Arkansas that's been well, I don't know if shut down is the word. It hasn't been an active music venue in many, many years.
Yeah.
But way back during the era of Prohibition, they would have like jazz musicians like earlier in the century come through there, and then they would serve alcohol. It would be like the low key where all the movers and shakers in the city would kind of come to gamble and partake in debauchery. It was, yes, but it's a grandiose ballroom, if you will. So it's still got like the brick walls and like the fancy lights and the balconies and the chandeliers. Yeah, it's very cool. Like B.B. King has played there. It's crazy. The history in that building is unreal. But this is going to be the first metal show that's ever happened there. We're headlining that Saturday, September 11th.
Was it hard? Weed Eater. Pulling off, setting that up and stuff for a metal show?
Well, so thankfully, I didn't have
to. It's been shut down for a while.
Right. And they're putting in the elevator. They're putting in the air conditioner now. So, even if you went up there right now, it's still not ready. But they're going to be, it's going to be ready for the show by September. Thankfully,
cool.
Thankfully, I didn't have my hands too much into the sausage making of that festival. The logistics, because that would have been a nightmare. I've helped a little bit here and there. That was mainly my buddy CT from the band Dead Bird Wake.
Okay.
He's like the guy with the connections in town in terms of metal. He set that up, and so respect to that dude, because he grinds harder than most people, and I don't know how, but he was able to make that happen.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a fantastic weekend for sure.
And does he run Vino's?
I think he runs the calendar for Vino's.
And
the calendar for Whitewater. So like the booking and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's
kind of channels through him. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Man. Yeah. So he's got a lot of contacts.
Yeah. I mean, in his bands, he's toured like the world like a few times over. So he's got, he knows everybody.
Yeah. Sounds like it. Wow. Yeah. I just got in. To the music scene and stuff, through my podcast, because I can't actually play anything.
Sure. Yeah. Me either, really.
I'm not
okay.
a vocalist
okay,
or
sure.
any of that.
You don't have to sing. I mean, if you play in a metal band or a hardcore band, you can just have charisma and a unique voice. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I tried a death metal band when I was a kid.
Okay.
I was fucking 13 or 14
or
some shit, dude. It was terrible.
Okay.
It was garbage. Yeah, I tried doing the vocals, and I was like, fuck it, I'm just gonna go for a Cannibal Corpse type style.
You can't go wrong with Cannibal Corpse, sure.
And I really got the inspiration from Cannibal Corpse, because I mean, if you listen to my podcast, you already know that's like one of my favorite bands of all time.
Okay, Cannibal Corpse,
yeah.
They're from California. Oh, yeah.
A lot of people haven't heard of them.
Oh, yeah,
everybody here is like, who the fuck is that?
Wow. Yeah, so obviously the name is like a play on Cannibal Corpse.
It's a parody
but it's,
band.
Yeah, yeah. Sure. But a parody. So when you say a parody band, people think like, oh, well, the music shit or whatever.
Yeah, yeah,
but it's like, no, they're really good.
There's some good parody bands, though.
And I think they've got accomplished musicians in the band that are in like other like fairly well-known Bay Area metal, death metal bands, whatever. So that band rocks. They're on Tank Crimes. That record company, that label is run by a good dude.
Okay.
I fuck with Cannibal Corpse. Let the record show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, dude. They're badass.
Yeah, they're tight.
Yeah, dude. That was like, I think my first band that I ever listened to, dude, was Mudvayne.
Okay,
my first metal band.
Sure, sure, yeah.
That you could actually consider metal.
Yeah, of course.
What about you, man? What was the first metal band?
Oh, man, metal band. So I maybe, I kind of came up more into like punk and discovered like extreme music through like punk. Mm-hmm. So it's tough to say in terms of metal.
What metalcore death metal band you first?
Yeah, okay. So I remember being into punk, like skate punk, like Epitaph punk, when I was in high school or whatever, right? And I'd be at the skate park smoking weed with the older kids. Yeah. I love AFI. Still to this day, one of my favorite bands. But like AFI, NoFX, Rancid, Pennywise, Bad Religion, those type of bands. And I was in all that shit. And I remember smoking out in this dude's car at the skate park.
Yeah.
And he had an Expedition. And he was like, "You mind if I crank some music up, dude?" And I was like, "All right, whatever." And so, okay, this is the first metal band, death metal, if you will, I guess. Extreme metal band, I heard.
Yeah.
So he plays, I forget what the album is. I think it's Unhallowed by the Black Dahlia Murder.
Oh, yeah.
And then the track Closed Casket Requiem. Go, if you're listening to the podcast, pause this for a second and play that track and tell me it does not fucking kick ass.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Black Dahlia Murder was like the first. I was like, fuck, I'm a punk dude for sure, but this is like, this rocks. Yeah. I was into it.
Oh, yeah, for sure, man. Dude, that's a fucking pretty sick band, you know? I haven't listened to their shit a long time.
Sure, sure. Yeah, me either, to be fair. They dropped a new album last year. I've been meaning to check it out. I've been sleeping on it a little bit, but I need to go do that. But yeah, those first couple albums, Unhallowed, Miasma, I think is how you pronounce it. Those are fucking awesome. Yeah. Awesome shit. Yeah. I'm okay to cuss on the.
Yeah, dude. It's, you're cool to cuss, man. You can say whatever you want.
Sure.
On here.
Hell yeah.
You know, it's definitely not like a podcast for kids or whatever, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, because I have a foul mouth, you know, usually.
Yeah, I'll try to keep it PG.
Oh, you're, yeah.
Or PG-13. Maybe R every now and then. We'll see.
Yeah. Yeah. Just see how it goes, you know. Where the conversation leads and stuff.
Right.
Yeah. So, you said you've done like other podcasts and stuff.
I always ask
people that because I always look for new shit to listen to.
So, are you familiar with Crashcast?
Yeah.
So, I've been on Crashcast a couple times. I did I did my own episode, I believe, just once.
Oh,
and I ramble for like, you know, 3 hours on that one.
Just a solo episode.
Just me and change the world. You want to make the world a better place. You want to advocate or stand up for this or that or the other and feeling powerless and not being able to make any sort of difference. And that's kind of what embodied like that fire in me to pursue music is my avenue to get my word out there.
Nice, man. That's awesome. Yeah. Shit. That's cool. I think that's, you know, that's kind of what I was a pissed off kid too, man. And just, you know, the metal and shit, you know, and like punk and stuff, that shit just draws you in because it's like, damn, you know, I've heard other people fucking say this, but I'm going to say it again, and even though it's cliche, but it's like, there's somebody else out there that feels like, you know, it's just pissed off as you are. You
know it's human nature to want to relate to somebody that relates to you. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so it's like, it's fucking nice when you hear that music. You know what I mean? Like, it's a fucking stress reliever. You know what I mean?
Sure.
For me, anyways. You know what I mean? Like, I listen to certain types of music based on like how I'm feeling at the time, you know what I mean? And usually like death metal and shit, you know, or fucking metalcore and stuff, it usually like helps me like chill out, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like
no
if
doubt.
I'm pissed off, I'll fucking put it on and you know what I mean? By the time I'm done listening to a few songs, I don't even remember what the fuck I was mad about to begin with.
For sure.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And
very
that
true.
Type of shit,
it's kind
of
cathartic.
Know?
You know, you it helps. It's almost like an escape. Like for a little bit, I can be pissed off and I can throw my AirPods in my ear, go to the gym, hit the weights while listening to like fucking Crowbar or something.
Yeah.
And then by the time I leave the gym, I'm in a whole different mood. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's wild.
Yeah, I got my fucking go-to when I'm working out is Kubla Khan.
Okay, yeah, hell yeah.
Yeah, dude.
Shout out Kubla Khan.
Yeah.
Dude. I want to play with that band one day.
Yeah, yeah, that would be fucking sick, man. Dude, they're fucking good.
Yeah, they're cool.
Yeah. But, yeah, man, that's fucking, I mean, that's a great music to work out to, you know.
Just actually. Actually, you know, I think we have played with Kubla Khan. I forgot.
Oh, shit.
When we first started as a band. Yeah, this is a crazy story. So we played a house show with Kubla Khan.
Okay.
Like in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, which is I think is where they're from.
Yeah.
It was like Kublai Khan, Heretic, Modern Pain, Soul Short, like every big 2014 or 15, maybe when we first started. It was like our first, maybe our first out of state show, I think, ever. Pavel Chekhov, every like Texas band of that time.
Yeah.
Like hardcore, metalcore, whatever. Texas band of that time, like, was in this tiny house. That place got fucking wrecked. Some girl got like her nose like completely crushed in during Kublai Khan. I felt bad. She's better now, I think. It was pretty wild to just see just like blood just squirting out of her face. It was fucked up. But
it would be pretty fucked up.
but yeah, we played a house show with Kublai Khan in like 2015. It was pretty fucking crazy. And they were big then too. They're not as big as, you know, they are now, but they were like, they definitely headlined, and everyone was definitely shocked to see that name on the flyer for sure.
Oh yeah, dude. 100%, man. So what? I mean, how many shows did y'all do a lot of shows here locally before y'all started going?
Yeah, oh yeah. When we first started as band. Yeah, but, you know, I know you mentioned earlier we don't play a lot locally or whatever now. I mean, because we really don't need to and whatever. But, but you know, when we first started as a band, we would jump on, like, metalcore shows, like, deathcore shows, hardcore show, sludge show, whatever. Like, anything that was, like, you know, anywhere from mildly to extremely aggressive heavy music, we would fucking play it. And we would, like, try to win people over at every show. Not everyone would dig it, especially if we were a stark contrast to the other bands playing. Some people fucked with it and some people didn't. There's a wave of hardcore kids that was created, I feel like, from Terminal Nation playing the shows at MF Metal, metalcore shows. Because there was a long time in this city where like hardcore kids were fucking known as like straight up assholes. I mean, you can make the argument that's any city, or you can make the argument that it's still the case, but there's like an unwelcoming attitude, maybe like an intangible you can't put your finger on. Like, I don't like fucking the hardcore dudes because they don't fucking want me here, whatever. I think it's a lot better now. It's way better now, but, you know, it was definitely like that in the city for a long time. But us just saying, hey, we're clearly a hardcore.
But what people thought about
well, that's
me,
good.
Dude.
That's
I'll
good.
Fucking come and go. And
there you go. Well, that's how it should be. That's how it should be. But also, you want to have a welcoming, at least me, I'm speaking for myself. You want to have a welcoming environment. As long as you're not a fucking shithead, like, I think you should be welcoming.
That's a bad example of like, not having that.
Sure.
Like,
no,
fuck these guys, man.
It's all good.
I'll go wherever the fuck I want.
Well, and I mean, I used people you would recognize me in the mid 2000s being like a fucking asshole.
Yeah.
Like the way I would mosh, and I was definitely a dick. I can own up to that. But you know, I around 2014 we started Termination, and I was like, yo, let's play this deathcore show at MF Metal. Will the kids like us? Probably not. Will there be some that are into it? Maybe.
Yeah.
But if we can just show that we're not above you, we're not like better than you guys. We're not like going to stand outside while the other bands are playing. We're not going to like fucking talk to you like if you just started going. I've been going to shows for, you know, at this point, I don't know, between 15 and 20 years. And if you start going to shows for like 15 or 20 days, if this is your first show, I don't need to be an asshole to you. I don't need to impress you. I don't need to name drop this, that, and the other. Like, we can just fucking be cool. We can just hang out. It's your first show. That fucking rocks. Thank you for coming out. Oh,
hell yeah.
You don't fuck with hardcore, but you like, you know, your favorite band is Suicide Silence. What? That's cool. I mean, whatever. Like, it's a little bit different from what we're doing, but that doesn't mean that we can't fucking hang out. And that doesn't mean that you can't vibe with my band. And I can't vibe with you as a person.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Whenever I first heard Terminal Nation, I thought, I thought death metal.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what
sure,
I mean?
Sure, yeah, that new album. I mean, it was 100% marketed as the death metal band. I would probably say.
Well, I mean, y'all hit it on the head.
Sure, you know sure,
I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, fucking, there's a lot of bands, though, that I've thought, like, damn, you know, sound like. You know, like death metal and shit. You know what I mean? Then it's like, fucking look at their page or something. They're like, they fucking call themselves a hardcore band.
Sure,
I'm
sure.
Like, what the fuck? But okay, you know?
Yeah, I mean,
people that call what fucking job for a cowboy metalcore and shit. It's like, no, they're death metal.
Sure, sure, yeah.
Job for a cowboy is fucking classic death metal.
Yeah, they went, I think, I don't know much about job for a cowboy, but they went through an evolutionary phase, I think, where they.
They have done, like, I mean, they've tried to put a different twist on their music, you know what I mean?
Sure.
With every album, you know what I mean? So they, you know, but it's always been like that heavy death metal.
Sure,
vibe,
sure.
Though,
yeah,
you
yeah,
know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't
That's fair.
Think they've ever put out like any, you know, peace and love hippie songs and shit or anything. But, you know, which I have my fucking variety of music, dude. I'll go from listening to that shit to listening to Job for a Cowboy, you know what I mean, on the same
yeah,
playlist.
Sure, sure.
So I got the Fray and then fucking Fray. Embodiment of a Machine right after the fucking How to Save a Life. It's like people look at my fucking playlist and think, what the fuck is wrong with this dude? Yeah. A lot.
Yeah, oh, I'm sure, I'm sure.
You said, oh, I'm sure. Yeah. But anyways, you've never or you've heard of it, you just haven't listened to them a whole lot or something?
Job for a Cowboy?
Yeah.
Oh, no, no, no. So like, when they first came out, that Doom EP, I was really big into that when I was more in, like, the metalcore scene or whatever, like, 2007, 2006, 2007,
They did tour
like that.
A lot with metal. They got put
yeah,
the same
at that time, sure, sure. And I think after that EP, they tried to, like, cut ties with that whole movement. I mean, some people were like, are they the first deathcore band? I don't know. My old band, I used to play in a band called Jungle Juice.
Yeah.
And like our third show was with Job for a Cowboy.
Damn,
at the Village. Job for a Cowboy, Animosity, Annotations of an Autopsy.
Okay.
Somebody
what?
Else.
What, In Flames?
I don't think so. I don't think In Flames was on there.
Okay. Yeah, I remember that's where I fucking first heard about them at was a show at the Village when I was a kid, about 14.
Yeah, it was probably the show. Yeah, I think Job for Cowboy only played the Village once, and it was fucking
chaos. That's how I heard
chaos.
About
I mean, it was just
as Blood Runs Black.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay.
They were fucking sick. And Bullet from Valentine, I heard about them from a fucking show that they played at the Village.
Really? Okay.
Yeah,
hell yeah,
dude. I remember that shit. I was like fucking 14, 13 or 14, something like that. Maybe 15.
Okay.
Maybe. I was like a fuck. I was like probably one of the youngest kids there, I think, you know. But yeah,
that's cool.
It was fucking, yeah, it was a fucking cool scene, man. The Village was cool.
The Village was tight. I think I harbored a lot of, animosity towards that place because of some of the fucking shithead security guards they had or whatever.
Yeah.
And I was an asshole, like I'll admit it. But
yeah,
I got my ass kicked. Fuck, I got the shit kicked out of me multiple times by security there. So like my memories aren't as endearing as maybe some other people, justifiably or unjustifiably so. However you want to look at it, whatever. But but in hindsight, I really do miss that place. That venue was fucking. It was sick and it was unique because it had the theater, the seats, like the setup was.
Yeah. And the theater.
I would give anything to still have that. Yeah.
Down at the bottom of them, right by the stage. So you could still open up a pit, but if you get tired, fucking go take a seat. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I would give anything to still have like a big show at that place. Like,
the smoke section, though, fucking kind of sucked. So you remember that like little cage area crammed everybody in to fucking smoke cigarettes and shit. Could you imagine if a venue did that shit and doubt it like right now, you know what I mean? Had a smoking section like that with COVID and shit.
Yeah, it was a little
people
weird.
Flip the fuck out.
It was a little it was different. I mean, I
back
don't know.
Then it was like fucking everybody piling here like sardines.
Sure.
Like, hey, let me get a short of a cigarette, homie.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, you can't fucking do that. Fuck, man. Yeah, shit changes, though. You know what I mean? It's fucking
that's
growth.
That's
like,
how life.
I would say it's growth, but I think this is some shit people say to make yourself feel good. Oh, it's fucking growth. Yeah, sometimes whenever you have like control over it, but it's like the Village fucking shut down.
Yeah, that's definitely not Grove.
Because it was fucking big. It was a big fucking venue.
Yeah, bigger tours. We were getting booming opportunities.
Yeah, it was fucking
we are now.
Huge venue, though. You know,
sure.
Shitload of space. You know what I mean? Once it closed down, it's like, there was like, what, Juanita's at the time, you know, Downtown Music, and shit, you know, Juanita's, that. But all those venues are like significantly smaller than the Village was. So it's kind of like, that wasn't what, you know, I don't know. Maybe if there's like a, you know, equally fucking big venue that opened up after it shut down or whatever, I'd say that's growth. But no, with it shutting down, it doesn't feel like growth.
No, it's definitely not growth. We're in a worse spot now than we were then.
Yeah.
For sure. We're just not getting the tours. I mean, with COVID, it's hard to judge anything. I hope that we're coming on the downslope of this.
The scene was looking good though before COVID fucking took off though. You know what I mean? With like pop punk scene. Shit, you know what?
Yeah. I mean, well, I don't know. I mean, so
the shows that I started fucking going to in 2019 were always fucking packed.
Yeah, so I mean, so I hear a lot of people refer to the pop punk scene. I think it's just Go for Gold, right? Is just the scene, right? Or what? Other pop punk bands?
Go for Gold, Anchor the Appetite, Any Given Room.
Oh shit. Okay. Well, yeah. I'm out of
Cardinal Rule.
Fuck, wouldn't that be a show? That would be a show that would sell out meetings like that.
There's a fucking bunch of pop punk.
Okay,
bands,
yeah. In that similar vein of, yeah.
Fuck, man. That's a good fucking band. They, a lot of those dudes were in, you know, other bands.
Sure,
shit. And then Census. It's another
good sure one. Yeah, all those bands are doing shit. That's good for
yeah
them.
They yeah, are that's cool. They're all doing shit.
I like to see that because I mean obviously I'm a older dude than a lot of those guys.
Yeah, there are a lot of young dudes in those bands.
Sure
You know what I mean?
I like to see the youth like making moves. Yeah. That's fucking cool.
I'm like
that gets
30,
me stoked,
you know.
Yeah 31. Yeah. So
But a lot of those fucking guys are like 28, 29, shit like that.
Okay,
you know,
sure.
They're not fucking, you know.
Kids.
Yeah,
but...
yeah, you don't, like, you know, fucking, I remember whenever I was younger and shit, whenever I was like a teenager and shit, going to shows, I used to think that people were like so much older than me and shit. And it was like, damn, these people were only like 2 years older than I was.
It's really weird.
It feels like you're so much older than somebody, you know what I mean, when you're younger and
sure
shit.
The dynamic's
and then, yeah,
different
and then you fucking, you know, once you're an adult shit, and it's like damn, the person was only like 2 years older than me, like 17, you know what I mean? I was
sure
like fucking 16 or some shit fucking hell yeah, we were fucking pit together. It makes sense, you know. Now looking back on it, but at the time when I was a teenager, I was like, oh shit, yeah, felt really badass, you know what I mean? I thought everybody was like so much older than me and shit. And I was fucking just in the pit with them and shit. I was like, damn, man, nah. Everything seems fucking way more fun though when you're a kid going to shows. Like,
oh,
when
sure,
you're a teenager,
it's exciting.
Going
it's,
to shows,
yeah.
It's way more exciting when you're from like when you're 30, and it's like, fuck, man, you know, still fun, but it's like.
But your
you
back
know,
hurts.
You know what? You know what's going on. You know what to expect. You know what's happening. At the
sure,
show,
sure.
You know what I mean? Like, there's not really like, you know, there's a few bands where it's like, oh, this is fucking sick. You know what I mean?
Sure.
But a lot of shows, I mean, are you know, it's just you know, aren't the same unless the band's just really, unless I'm just really digging the band. You know?
Sure. Yeah.
But yeah. Like you know what I'm talking about? Like some bands are just more energetic and stuff.
Yeah, of course. I mean, like, you know, a band is a band, but then sometimes when a band puts forth that extra effort,
yeah,
it just has like a fucking
the vibe. When a band
is
has
different.
A good front man, you know what I mean? It's fucking like, okay, you know, fucking definitely like My Hands to War, you know what I mean? I'm like, I'm always gonna catch up My Hands to War.
Sure,
you know
yeah.
What I mean? Because Todd is a fucking great frontman for them. You know what I mean? He's a great vocalist, shit. I mean, you know, fucking the omelet really put them on the map. You know,
the omelet.
Yeah.
That's funny. Fucking omelet. Yeah, yeah. They. I mean, you can tell that those fools put in like 150%.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Which is fucking, that's good. That translates well. I one thing I don't like is seeing bands that look fucking bored on stage. Like,
oh yeah.
Yo, if you're fucking bored on stage, what do you expect the audience? Yeah, come on now. Bored. Yeah, at least.
You know, that's how I judge my podcast. Like, whenever I feel like shit starts to get boring.
Sure.
Like,
yeah, yeah. And
I should talk about stuff. Then I'm like, all right. You know, it's
boring. Yeah, good time backing in. Sure.
Yeah, dude.
But
bands, I think bands can be the same way because it's like, you know, some bands like play really good music, you know, put out really good albums and stuff. But then when you see them live, it's like, the music's good, but like, you know, watching them live, you know, like where a dude just stands there with fucking microphone.
Yeah. And then, I mean, it works. Shit, like, you can be, you don't have to constantly move.
It doesn't
move.
Work for everybody.
Sure.
Yeah, it doesn't work for everybody, though, because, like, there's, you know.
You can tell when somebody's phoning it in.
Yeah.
You can stand still and put out just as much energy as a dude who's like doing backflips and shit, like whatever. But
for sure.
But when you're phoning it in, you, like, I think the audience can tell. I don't know. Like, we touched on this a little bit earlier. Like, what brought you into music? What the things that influenced me and what I write about? They're personal things. They're macro, micro things. They're, you know, personal things and big picture things. But like, dude, when I think about like, I'll before we play, I'll just kind of get in my headspace and I'll just sit there and like run through all the subject matter of the songs. Like, why was I so fucking mad when I wrote this? Now I need to channel that energy. Cause if I'm, it didn't need to be phoned in. If I was pissed off when I'm writing it and I was fucking pissed off when I recorded it, there's no reason I shouldn't be pissed off when I'm reading it back to you. Cause I'm reliving that. And so like, if I was just talking about all these things,
not necessarily like with being like pissed off or whatever, you know, like for like me as like a fan or whatever, like a spectator, it's just like seeing if you dig your own music. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's some bands that like you can tell that aren't like having fun or aren't really like into it, shit. And it's like, damn, man, if you aren't digging your own music, you know, people can sense that.
Yeah, kind of for
shit,
sure, for
you
sure.
You know what I mean? And fucking throws it off.
Well, you write music from a point of emotion. If you deliver that and perform with no emotion, then it just seems fake. It just seems phony.
Yeah,
and it just seems like a fucking, you're a fraud. It's bullshit. So, if you wrote a song and you felt, if you were compelled enough emotionally to sit down, take a pen and write a fucking song, you know, and come up with the structure of the song, this, that, and the other. And you were driven.
Show those emotions.
Right. You had all this emotion coursing through your body to write that song. And then when you deliver it half-assed.
Yeah.
But
it can ruin it. You know what I mean? But, you know, a lot of the times, you know, fucking those same bands that do shit like that, it sounds good, like, you know what I mean? Sounds good on like Spotify or
whatever, of course.
You know what I mean? So it's cool to like jam or whatever, but it's like, you know, there's a shitload of bands like that where it's like I would jam them, you know, but I'm not, you know, fucking go to a show.
Sure, yeah.
But, and I hate to say that because I sound like a fucking douchebag, but. You know, it's just.
Well, I mean, you know, you only have, especially at our age, you work, I work, you got family, you got shit to do. You have a limited amount of time in a day. You have a limited amount of time in a week. You have a limited amount of fucking time on this earth. So why would you waste your time going to some shit that fucking sucks ass?
Exactly.
I'm always supporting the scene or whatever, but if you're not putting 110%, why the fuck would I put 100,
it's,
you know, and 10% and show up to your show?
Yeah, it's gotta
now,
be worth it.
Somebody's gonna isolate that, what I just said. I'm all about supporting the scene, but why the fuck would I support? But but seriously, I mean, thankfully, we're from an area where you mentioned earlier, Cardinal Rule, Go for Gold, like some of the bands we've talked about today.
Yeah.
Like, Levels.
Yeah.
Like, those are all top-notch bands. They're like fucking, they're pros. Oh, fucking they're like pros. Like, you can put them side by side. Take Anchor the Appetite, right?
Yeah.
Put them on a side stage on Warped Tour.
Oh,
and
fuck,
if you walk up, you wouldn't think, oh, you wouldn't be thinking, oh, this band has no business being here. You would walk up and be like,
this is cool.
They look like they belong.
They could fight whenever they're putting on a show. You could tell that they're into that music. They're digging what they're fucking doing.
And they're having a good time.
And
like,
they all
tell,
vibe
they're putting
with
out
each
the energy.
Other.
Yeah, so that's
shit.
Good.
Yeah, so like, it all goes together perfect.
And we talked on Levels earlier.
You can tell when a band has that.
Sure.
You
know we talked on Levels earlier, and the type of metal that they play is not really like my preferred style.
But
like those guys are fucking pros. Like from the attention to detail that they put in their recording, in their videos, and you know their performance.
Their
it's like they're good. They're
fucking sick.
Yeah, they're fucking they're killing it. Like so, you know, there's a lot of bands who in Arkansas who I think are overperforming. We may not have as much notoriety as, you know, scenes in like New York, Texas, California, Florida, whatever. But I mean, we have the talent and the quality for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like we might not have the numbers, but quality over quantity, I think. In you know, as it pertains to Little Rock specifically.
Yeah. 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 You have to be good to get noticed out of here. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I mean, if you're from Arkansas, you got to fight harder. You got to fight a little bit harder than somebody from a geographical region that is where you're expected to break out or where eyes are already on you.
Yeah,
here nobody's fucking watching Arkansas for the next big death metal band. Nobody's watching Arkansas for the next big pop punk band.
No,
nobody's watching Arkansas for the next big alternative radio rock band. Nobody has eyes on Arkansas. So you have to fight, you know,
nobody's
claw a little harder.
Nobody's looking here for fucking a podcast.
Right, exactly. Yeah, nobody's looking for the next big rapper out of Arkansas or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things that kind of hinder us and hold us back being from here. And that being said, I mean, we have a lot of bands who've still been kicking ass regardless.
Oh, yeah, dude, that's like shit. Man, I'm going to keep podcasting regardless.
Of course.
Know what I mean?
Who cares? Like,
exactly.
I mean,
just do it.
If it's what you want to do, then fuck it. Who cares?
Right? Yeah, dude, I love that. I like to fucking meet new people and talk to people and fucking, like, learn about new people's music and stuff and just, like, get to know, members of the bands and shit that I like listening to and stuff and sitting down and having a conversation. And, you know, it's a plus that, you know, other people fucking enjoy the shit too. You know, and other people want to listen to it. So it's like, damn, you know, podcasting is a fucking awesome thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
And, like, you know, it's unique. You know, it's one of those things where it's like, I think now, you know what I mean? Oh, shit, everybody has podcasts, you know what I mean?
sure.
It's still a unique thing to do because everybody's podcast is different. You know what I mean? I listen to a shitload of different podcasts, you know?
Sure.
And, I get that all the time. People ask me, like, why do you get a podcast? Everybody has podcast and shit. Like, yeah, everybody has a podcast, but everybody has a completely unique podcast. Nobody's podcast is the same.
Sure, sure.
So, you know, like, fuck it. You know, somebody's gonna listen to it, you know? And that's the mindset that I went into it with.
Nobody else on earth has your perspective. Whether it's, whatever. So.
Yeah, that's what makes it unique. It doesn't matter how many there are, you know? And I think is the same way, you know, everybody's music is different, you know, just like, it's the same way, you know, like you might be in the same genre as another band, but it's not going to be the same as that other band. You know,
sure.
It's going to be something that's different.
Yeah, as long as you're consciously putting like your own spin on it, like yeah. especially, you know, that, you know, you just make it your own thing.
Yeah. But shit, man, I hate to cut this short, but do you want to plug in anything?
All right, let's see. Terminal Nation, you can find all of our social media sites and various organizations that we support, things like that, merch, Spotify link, whatever. All that's at terminalnation.net, and there's a full link. That link will give you a list of whatever you need to satisfy your terminal thirst. And then we have a couple shows coming up. Memphis on July 23rd of 2001. Year we're in, fuck COVID, fuck
2021, yeah.
2021. Oh shit. So we're playing Memphis July 23rd. I think it's sold out, but from what I just read via text message a couple of minutes ago, they are gonna allow walk up. So if you couldn't get to our Little Rock show, drive up to Memphis and you can probably get in. The pre-sales are sold out, but there's still room. They're gonna allow people in until it meets capacity, is what I was just told. July 26th, we have the show here. It's our record release show for our LP Holocene Extinction, which came out last year on 20 bucks spin. We'll have records. We'll have new shirts. We'll have everything there. That's sold out. I'm going to play it by ear. And if that night, if the room, if we look like we might have a little more space in the room, yeah. I'll put a call out. I'll put a text. I'll put a tweet, a Facebook post, whatever, and I'll post on the event page. Hey, show up, you might get in, whatever. I'm just saying that now. You heard it here first. So yeah, July 26th, Terminal Nation, Sanguisugabog, 200 Stab Wounds and Second Life at the Eyes Up House. It's sold out, but we'll see. Maybe we'll allow a few more folks in. Who knows? And then Mutants of the Monster Fest, of
if
course.
If that happens, somebody needs to check.
Okay. All right. I'll holler at you. And then the big one, Mutants of the Monster Fest in September, September 10th, 11th, and 12th in Little Rock, Arkansas with Devourment, Pallbearer, Terminal Nation, Weed Eater, Yautja, Frozen Soul, Morbid Visions. It's going to be a fucking crazy weekend. Get your weekend passes. Straight. John Moreland. I'll say that again.
Weed Eater. Straight.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And should be a wild one, so get your tickets to that. Those tickets are still available. It's in a way bigger room, but don't wait around too long because, as you can see, shit can sell out before you know it. Again, this is Stan from the band Terminal Nation. Hit me up on socials, whatever, terminalnation.net. That's where you need to go for all the information. Yo, Sam. Sam is cool,
yep,
right?
Sam.
You're cool, yep. Sam? I wasn't sure if we needed to go full first name.
Yeah.
No, I appreciate it. Thank you very much for having me.
Dude, I appreciate you coming on the show. Man, it's... I know you're a busy dude and all that.
You as well, yeah.
It's been a really fun conversation, you know. But anyways, guys, like, share, subscribe, comment, all that good shit.
All that good shit.
And catch me on the next episode.
Peace.
Catch me outside.